continue on this Monday morning. Bob, you used to hate Mondays. You get a little shot of espresso with your co-host these days, and it doesn't feel like a Monday.
Nah, it still kind of does feel like a Monday.
No, it doesn't. Quit lying to yourself.
No, it's amazing. Every Monday I drive in, I go, man, Friday night seems so long ago, like it was yesterday or 2 days ago, but it feels like an eternity ago from Monday morning, right? You're like, oh, it's Monday morning, getting up on a Monday.
That's right.
But at least we get back to football this weekend, and we kind of settle back into our football routine now here on the show and in Kansas City, and we got a big one this weekend against the San Francisco 49ers. Not as big as I don't think when the season started, because everybody's hurt for San Francisco, mm-hmm. but the minute you start talking about, oh, everybody's hurt, there's no way, that's when you go out there and you stub your toe. So this
everybody's
is a big one, right?
Both teams.
I know, it's a mash unit right now for everybody, but you know, two wide receivers are running back down, and the team is still sitting there in prime position at 5-0. And so you go into this game against San Francisco, first underdog of the week of the year, but you got to get a win. Beat those San Francisco 49ers.
I do want to take time out of this platform that we have here on radio, because if you listen to this show, and I know a lot of people have reached out and said they like the way the show ends when we say go do nice things for people, because you never know, could change their day, week, month, or year. It's cool to care. Being kind is one of the things I like to do in life. There is a local high school team that needs help. And the text line brings it up. We need your help. A school right down the road from KC is in the race to win a football program makeover. They are looking for a grant. The school is Crest Ridge High School.
Where is Crest Ridge High School? I've never heard of that.
The school is in the running for a multi-million dollar grant from T-Mobile to redo its outdated football field and facilities.
Is this a national contest we have a chance to win?
I don't know. The field was lovingly created by farmers in the community in 1982. It's used up to six nights a week by the entire community, but it desperately needs space and safety upgrades.
Okay.
There's some work that needs to be done. There's some things. There's rocks on the field. Their equipment is outdated.
Sounds like when we played high school football back in the day, right?
And so the best way I can help right now, at least in my mind, is to get this information out, because Bob
is there a vote?
I'm trying to figure things out as we go along, but Crest Ridge has become one of the 16 finalists of schools across the country.
So a nationwide contest. Cool.
Right.
All right.
For
let's
a multi-million dollar upgrade from T-Mobile so that its football field and facilities. On Thursday, the school received a $25,000 gift from T-Mobile for becoming a finalist, in addition to smaller previous grants from the company. Quote, to get something like this would just be huge for our community, said Katie Woosley, a high school teacher and coach at Crest Ridge High School, who's helped organize the contest efforts. Maybe we can get her on the show. We just need to get information, more information and more notoriety, because I've been reached out by my old college professor, Joe Moore at UCM. Shout out to the Mules. I've been friends have said, hey, have you seen this? What can you do? What I can do is bring some information to the airwaves so that when you're driving to your work this morning, you're like Bob or Mac, like the hell is Crest Ridge? They're a school that needs help, and they need information.
Where are they located?
Johnson County is what it
really
says.
Really?
Centerview.
Where?
Centerview, Missouri.
Johnson County, Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri.
Okay. I thought you meant Johnson County. Okay, so Johnson County, Missouri.
Yeah.
So a little bit south of here, I guess, is where that is. Kind of like Adrian, Appleton City, that kind of area out there.
Yeah,
okay.
50 Highway west of Orangeburg. It's close. West of Sedalia, kind of down there, southeast Missouri.
That's why I'm like, you're saying Johnson County. I'm like, I have no idea where that, like, I've never heard of that school before. So if there's an online vote, give out the website. People can vote and get that taken care of. I'm sure that's ultimately kind of what it comes down to, right? Who can garner the best community support, you know, in something of this nature. And so if there's a vote, Kansas City loves the vote. We voted for Omar. So get out there. Go out there and vote for Crest Ridge. Probably down by like Sherwood High School and all that kind of stuff down in that area of town where our guy James lives, you know. So, interesting.
Somebody says on the text line from the 660, which is in that area.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I know more about the Crest Ridge contest. You vote on a website. Send us that website.
Thank you. Go to
Twitter. At Dusty Likens, send me the information. I'll vote. I'll spread it like wildfire and get that school some money and let them get some renovations.
That's cool that they got 25 grand already, too. That's a big chunk of change, man.
Yeah.
That's a good start for everybody down there to get what they need to kind of taken care of. But what are they, $1 million? That's a hell of a grant, man. You can do a lot with that. You can lay that entire field down in AstroTurf for a long time to come, you know, for $1 million. So hopefully they win, man. That'd be cool.
Would be. Yeah, somebody says, I just looked at their high school football field on Google Earth. It looks like a cow pies and stickers on the ones that we used to play on. Yeah, they need help, man. So if you want, at Dusty Likens on Twitter, send me information. We'll get this thing rolling. We'll get this kid's some money. We'll get that football field up to date, because there's nothing worse than shattering kids' dreams on a terrible field. It looked like the field from The Longest Yard.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
But yeah, let's get some help for that. I mean, there's nothing better than to see, because I always say the mic are powerful than the hand grenade. It gets information out there. People listen. Like, you're just driving around, and now we have people that can tell you exactly where Crestridge is.
Yeah, like, I had no, I'd never heard of that one before.
I know you don't have Instagram. I'm going to do my best to get you an Instagram page.
Nah.
But you can go on there. There's a video that you can click on. There's a site that takes you to it, to where you can vote so they can get that grant from T-Mobile, because nothing would be better than to see, these kids, how that can change. And it hits home to me, because look, Warrensburg College down in that area, I know it's not always the best facilities down there, but it would be nice to see.
I mean, it's like once you get outside of the metro area, man, kids, are the same as they are here in the metro area, but there's just not money out there.
And we'll go watch a Friday night football game at Crestridge.
You start to move out, and you start to see that the funds are limited, the schools are smaller, the tax bases are smaller, they don't have the money, and sometimes kids don't get that same type of opportunity. So you got the opportunity to help a local school, local-ish school here in the area. Go ahead and vote for them on that website as soon as you get that information.
No doubt about it. I will cut some information. We'll get to that a little bit later, as we'll try to drive as hard as we can to get money for this school for a grant from T-Mobile, because nothing would be better than to help out these kids. And not only that, the future of what it can be for Crestridge High School, who needs your help. One of 16 finalists, again, hoping to win a multi-million-dollar competition through T-Mobile, which would improve their football field and make things a little bit easier for those kids who play Friday Night Lights. How to vote, you can go to Instagram. You can search Crestridge Cougar. I hope that's a good site. And then you can like their pinned video.
Yeah, be careful with your search engine on that one.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So thanks to JB on Twitter for sending that to me and getting that information out there. Let's go help these kids, man. Let's go get these kids some money. Let's get them one of 16 finalists for the multi-million-dollar grant. Because could you imagine if even just the little bit was like, just you guys talking about it. You could have talked about the Chiefs. You could have talked about the Royals. You could have talked about Aaron Rodgers. You could have talked about the Dallas Cowboys. No. Let's let that go on the back burner for just a little bit, and let's make something good happen for a local community and a team that needs your help, money-wise and all that. And then you never know. You could get, more information on this and really spread it like wildfire in the system. So, they have a gravel track. Like a gravel track. Like, imagine watching your daughter do cheerleading. Mm. You'd be nervous as hell going up in the air and be like, catcher.
You're nervous as hell on any sort of track when you're doing that kind of stuff.
Let's get Crestridge some help. And we come back, we'll talk about Caleb Williams one more time, because it's going to get Bob to become a believer. We'll also get into the script a little bit later on. Get Crestridge some help. That's the message today on a Monday, 96.5 The Fan. This is Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, when people say, what about your roof? I say Manning Roofing. That's the number one place you can go to in Kansas City. Whether you got damaged by a hailstorm or if it's just time for your new roof, Manning Roofing is there for you, because there's a number of reasons you can go to Manning Roofing, right? Like, what separates them from every other roofing company out there? The number one thing is this. They are a true general contractor. So when you call Manning Roofing, you don't have to worry about calling anybody else for any of your needs. When your house gets damaged by hail, that roof gets pounded on. Right? Boom, 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 boom. But also the gutters may be ruined. The siding may be ruined. The windows may be ruined. Manning handles all of that. They're the only roofing company that is a true general contractor. So you don't have to worry about getting estimates on gutters or windows or siding from anybody else. Manning Roofing handles it all. And the other thing that Manning Roofing does is deal with the insurance company. They've done thousands of jobs here in Kansas City. And you know what? They've never once been rejected by the insurance company. They understand how to get the job done for you. And even if you didn't use Manning Roofing and you're having some issues with your insurance company, call Manning today and say, hey, man, I'm having some issues with my insurance company. Help me out. You can set up that free appointment at manninggc.com. That's manninggc.com. Or just give them a call, 816-448-8208. Manning is my one-stop shop for roofs, gutters, siding, and windows. The choice is simple. It's Manning Roofing.
We could use a million votes to help support Crestridge High School.
as they are in that competition. For those of you that just listened to that last segment, I do have a little bit of information. Thanks to the people that are listening now, sending Twitter videos and information. Again, you go to Instagram. I know all of you that listen probably have Instagram. I'm going to get Bob an Instagram page. I swear to it. Just so he can vote. This was the news package on what we just talked about.
The school is one of 16 finalists for T-Mobile's Friday Night 5G Lights Contest. They're the only school left in either Kansas or Missouri, which is really upping the ante. Just off 50 Highway, surrounded by farmland, is the heart of the Centerview community. Friday Night Lights could look a lot different next year now that the Crest Ridge Cougars beat out 1,700 other schools to be a finalist in T-Mobile's national competition.
Welcome to Crest Ridge.
The school's already won $30,000 and is now competing for a multi-million dollar prize.
The safety is obviously an issue.
Superintendent Heather Gross is talking about the football field. Built by local farmers in 1982, it's only been upgraded once. The huge crown in the center of it makes it not only tricky to see the players, but to actually play on as well.
It not only affects my son right now, but I have two younger kids that they're going to play on this field too.
Another issue is the gravel track used by the men's and women's track team. Since it's not regulation size or up to standard, it is impossible to host a meet. T-Mobile reps hosted a tailgate party at Friday's home game, which is why you see so much pink. They're helping spread the word about the contest. Since the school doesn't belong to any major city, that's affected its ability to make expensive improvements, which is why the prospect of a luxury makeover would be a dream come true.
We are a very small district, and we don't really have a town. So, our revenues are limited and how we receive taxes.
It would change their lives. It would truly change their lives.
So they can only win this competition if they get the most likes on their Instagram video. So get your phone out, go to Instagram and search for Crest Ridge Cougar. You'll want to like the very first video that's pinned on their page. The competition, by the way, ends November 12th.
So November 12th, they already have 21.
Got a month.
Yep, they got 21,000 likes. One of them is from your boys, Dusty Likens. There's 21,000. There's over 10,300 shares with that video. So go to Crest Ridge Cougar, like it. Let's get those kids some money and let them win this this competition by T-Mobile. Again, you heard the video or the audio, $30,000 already there. That's not enough. Gravel pit tracks, crowns in the stadium, can't see their kids play. Make it for the future. And help support local is what we like to do here. But that's where we stand. So there we go. Crestridge. Get those Cougars some money. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you on a Monday. After a bye week, the Chiefs will roll on. But what we saw this weekend was the arrival of maybe what we will now have as a gutsy Rookie of the Year competition with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I thought Jaden Daniels was decent. I thought he was okay. I mean, it was a big game, obviously, this weekend, right? With Jaden Daniels and Washington. That was a tough game. That was a hard fought game from Washington. They just ran into Derrick Henry. No pun intended.
Like, they've won right now. Baltimore's had 43 straight games where they've rushed over 100 yards. I mean, you've got to shut down the run to beat the Baltimore Ravens. There's just no question about it. I mean, that's why you look at the Chiefs. They shut down Derrick Henry for the most part. Lamar beat him with his legs, right? It wasn't Derrick Henry that beat him with their legs, but he's starting to beat up everybody right now. We'll see how he is at the end of the season. That's going to be interesting to me to follow a aging running back to see where he's going to be at the end of the season. But you wanted to see Jaden Daniels get that win, like take that next step, get that marquee win, get that big, victory over Baltimore. That would have been a big win, I thought, for Jaden Daniels yesterday. But Lamar and Baltimore proved, hey, we're still here, right? We're not going anywhere quite yet, and we're still a little bit better than you guys. You haven't had the experience yet, and they took care of business yesterday. So congratulations to the Ravens for getting that one done. But Jaden Daniels, I guess, takes a little bit of a dip, and everybody's, is he the MVP and the Rookie of the Year? And this is why we don't vote after 5 weeks of an NFL season. But I mean, in this day and age, we want to crown every rookie and make every rookie the greatest of all time instead of, I don't know, just letting things play out and seeing how they adjust, over the course of their career. The only player that this league has not been able to figure out has really been Patrick Mahomes. Everybody else gets figured out at some point or the other in this league, and it's about how you adjust back to that league. And once the league starts to figure figure out Mahomes in this offense, they adjust and they do things differently. So now's the adjustment period. Caleb Williams has had a couple of good games. Jaden Daniels has had some good games. Maybe the league starts to figure them out a little bit. How do they adjust back and become better football players than they were in the first couple of weeks, where nobody really knew what to expect because everybody thought Patrick Mahomes was going to come back down to earth in that first year, right? Teams will eventually figure him out. Then they didn't. Then there was an offseason. Then they didn't. Then there was another offseason. Then they did. And they still haven't really figured out Patrick Mahomes. Most guys get figured out in this league. It's how they adjust back and how they counter what the league is doing against them. And so I think we saw a little bit of that with Jaden Daniels yesterday. Maybe the league has adjusted back to him. How does he evolve and take that next step forward?
No doubt about it. And you had a question is, why do we crown Caleb Williams before we crown a guy like Jared Goff?
Yeah, like nobody wants to crown Jared Goff, who has a very good track record in this league, if not better than very good track record in this league, right? He's been the face of the two organizational turnarounds. He took the LA Rams to a Super Bowl, and then it just wasn't the right fit for, you know, the coach Sean McVay and him out there, so they flipped him to Detroit, got Matthew Stafford, and he's led Detroit back to this prominence right now. But everybody wants to jump on board the Caleb Williams train or the Jaden Daniels train. Like, why do we want to crown the next when we have a guy that nobody's willing to say, you know what, maybe we were wrong about in Jared Goff? Because his last name is Goff? Is that why nobody wants to get excited about Jared Goff? Like, I see Jared Goff, who's done nothing but lead two franchises back from the ashes, and Caleb Williams played six games, four of them decent enough, and we want to crown him as the next. Why is that in the NFL? Why do we want to do that?
Mac, you want to go or you want me to go?
Well, can I ask you, do you think Jared Goff is underrated?
I do. I don't think people are willing to embrace Jared Goff as the good quarterback. We want to praise the wide receivers. We want to praise Dan Campbell. We were praising Aiden Hutchinson and that defense and everybody else around him. It was like, oh my God, look at all the weapons Detroit has. Oh, and then there's Jared Goff. Like, that's the guy getting them the football. It's funny how we pick and choose certain arguments for certain quarterbacks in the NFL. Some will say, wow, they're great because they win Super Bowls, and some we won't give the benefit of the doubt to. And it depends on really where they are. Like, Jared Goff is a really good quarterback in this league, and nobody wants to put him in the category as one of the five best quarterbacks. He's on one of the best teams, getting the ball to his weapons. They put up 47 points yesterday, and everybody wants to sit back and go, I don't know. It's like, because our mind gets made up. We want to be the first to declare stuff, and then when it doesn't go our way, we never want to admit we were wrong about things, right? I may be wrong about Caleb Williams, but it's too early to tell if Caleb Williams is any good. Jared Goff has got the track record there. Jared Goff's a really good quarterback that nobody wants to embrace and let be a good quarterback. So why are you laughing, Mac? Why are you smirking?
Dusty gave me a look. That's
because
my fault.
To be fair, you didn't even give Caleb Williams a chance before he took a snap in the NFL.
Because he hadn't done anything. You're right.
But you didn't give him a chance.
You're right.
But in your argument there, you're saying nobody gave Jared Goff a chance.
That's correct. But he's got a track record. He's got years of a track record right now. I'm not saying gave
him a
chance.
But he was the first overall
pick. I'm not saying then. I'm saying today.
Okay.
We're looking around the league today. Jared Goff is a better quarterback today than when he was drafted number one overall. There's no doubt in my mind. He is a better quarterback today than when he was drafted number one overall. But yet we're all putting Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels ahead of Jared Goff. Like, if you polled people and you said, who's a better quarterback, Caleb Williams or Jared Goff, I would bet the majority of people would say Caleb Williams. Based on what? Based on six games. Jared Goff has got an entire career where he's been a really, really, really good quarterback in this league, and people always want to discount him and always want to go with the new toy. Ooh, look at this. This is great. This is wonderful. Whoa. This is exciting, you know?
I don't think Jared Goff is a top five quarterback. Like, I still think I would take Justin Herbert over Jared Goff.
See, I would not take Justin Herbert. I'm not a believer in that guy.
But, I mean, you put Justin Herbert on Detroit,
oh,
and you would see more egregious numbers than what Jared Goff is doing.
And that's
a fair assessment. Is Jared Goff a top 10 quarterback? 1,000%
yes.
He is. Top five, big stretch.
And I think what you're saying... Sorry, Dusty.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I think what you're saying is true, though, and I think we've all fallen victim to it, but I think, like, you talk trash, and not saying you, but a lot of people talk trash on, you know, say a guy like Dak Prescott. Like, to me...
He doesn't win when it matters, though. I mean, like, Dak Prescott does not have the it factor, in my opinion.
Yeah. winning is a team thing, and we can talk about Jared Goff and situation. We talked about situations being really about half of what a quarterback's career is going to be. Jared Goff has been gifted situations his whole career. You know, other guys
He was the number one pick for a team that just moved from St. Louis that was complete and total ass and took that team to the Super Bowl.
And then 2 years later found the phenom coach that's a top five head coach, and they spent more money than anyone else in the league, and they had the best roster in all of football.
And I'll tell you this, if Patrick Mahomes doesn't have Andy Reid, he doesn't have two straight
There's
Super
no
Bowl championships
in
three. I mean, it's all about that perfect relationship with everything.
But we notice those things. We bring it up with Patrick Mahomes, and Mahomes, on the other hand, has 50 and 5,000. You know, Goff has 28 touchdowns, 12 picks, 3,500 yards on amazing teams and amazing situations. He's good. He's really good. Really good quarterbacks.
But you're also comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, right? That's such an anomaly.
But you said top five. So you're comparing him to Joe Burrow, to Josh Allen.
If I need to win a game, Jared Goff's one of the five quarterbacks. Joe Burrow's not a guy anymore, guys. Like,
They played in the same amount of Super Bowls.
We need to let Joe Burrow go at the moment. Like, Joe Burrow is not the same Joe Burrow that played here and beat the Chiefs in that postseason game. At least that's the feeling that I get. He's got the busted up wrist. They're not playing good football right now.
What I will ask you is, what's Jared Goff's biggest win off the top of your head?
Probably the NFC Championship game when they got into the Super Bowl.
Did he win that game?
I don't know. He's the quarterback of that team, though. I mean, see, there we go. We're picking and choosing what we want to credit quarterbacks with based on whether or not we like that quarterback.
Look, I think Jared Goff is Alex Smith. I think Jared Goff is very similar to what Alex Smith is. And there was a lot of people, and maybe there were those people.
What if Jared Goff gets to a Super Bowl this year? He's better than Alex Smith because he's already been to one Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to get out of his division first, that's a tough division. But again, what I'm getting at is that I think when you look at what the situation is, which the beginning of the argument was Caleb Williams, Jared Goff, why do we give Caleb Williams so much praise and Jared Goff not enough? Because I think Jared Goff has hit his ceiling. I think Caleb Williams' ceiling is still unknown, and it's rising as we go on. And trust me, I don't have the text line open yet. I still have our rundown open. I'll look at it, and I'll answer questions. But the thing is that Jared Goff and Caleb Williams have one thing in common. They were both number one overall picks. The problem is that Caleb Williams has the ability, from what we've seen, to have that superstar level, whereas Jared Goff is very evergreen, very vanilla.
That's the thing right there. He's very evergreen and very vanilla. And people are like, he doesn't resonate, you know?
That's the answer to your question, is that Jared Goff was drafted to be a manageable style quarterback. Caleb Williams was drafted to take a team to the promised land and be an overall like top quarterback in the league because of what he was compared to, which some would say it's unfair, some would say it's egregious, some would say it's dumb, because there is only going to be one Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, that's just a fact. Somebody else will eventually come along and be the best quarterback in the NFL, like we've always seen throughout time, but they'll never be that same type of quarterback. Like, there's never going to be maybe a guy that's the way that Tom Brady played. There may never be a guy that does it the way Patrick Mahomes did it, but there will be a guy that comes and resonates a new style of quarterback or a new way of play that where you're like, that's something we haven't seen before, because that's the luxury of having sports evolve the way they do. But I think that Caleb Williams comes into a league where, because of who he is, whether you like him, whether you don't, his flamboyant characters, his loud, over the top. He was a quarterback during NIL. Like, when it first started, he lived in a penthouse suite in California. He followed his coach, who might be out of USC. That's a story for another day. But like, I think that's the problem that we have, is that, yes, these kids get the notoriety and the attention, and then all of a sudden they win Heisman trophies and they go play at USC and they do these type of things. And Jared Goff out of Cal was overall number one pick. But if Jared Goff was so good and so liked by his coach got rid of him for another quarterback and won a Super Bowl with that quarterback.
Absolutely. And Jared Goff is doing great things in Detroit right now.
But he's not winning titles.
Well, but he's been there, what, 2-3 years now? So you've got the opportunity to see him. He's also in the Mahomes era right now, which also, too, I think does impact this, is that I think a lot of this has to do with the rest of the general public just being tired of Patrick Mahomes. And you can look around the National Football League and you try to find somebody who you think can knock off Patrick Mahomes. And right now, the unknown of Caleb Williams for a lot of people is better than what the known is of Jared Goff. People think maybe Caleb Williams could be the next Patrick Mahomes, because we have not seen anything but 6 games of Caleb Williams in the NFL. The unknown is still there, but the unknown of him being able to be better than Patrick Mahomes is still greater than the known of what Jared Goff is. And that's just a steady, really good quarterback that helps his team win games that nobody wants to give credit to. And I think a lot of this is the Patrick Mahomes factor, just like a lot of it was the Tom Brady factor. People got sick of Tom Brady and the Patriots winning. People are tired, outside of this area, of the Chiefs winning Super Bowls and dominating, and everybody is trying to find who can be that guy that can knock off Patrick Mahomes. Can Jared Goff do it? I would say most people probably think no, right? But Jared Goff did beat Patrick Mahomes,
twice.
Right? Twice, right? If I'm not mistaken, right? Beat Patrick Mahomes twice. And Caleb Williams is that guy who you look at and you go, I don't know what he can do against Patrick Mahomes, but I feel like he gives me a better chance and a better success rate than maybe what Jared Goff is, even though Jared Goff is beaten Patrick Mahomes in the couple of times that they matched up. So I think a lot of that does factor in, but it also factors in because it's new and he's on the scene and it's Chicago and they want him to do so good. And meanwhile, hey, Steady Eddie's up there in Detroit still winning football games and making everybody look stupid when he plays against him.
Goff is a win with quarterback and a really good win with quarterback that Caleb Williams has the chance to be a win because of.
But has not proven
and
that.
And we're very excited about a chance for, because there's three win because of guys?
There you go. It goes back to the same argument that you can have for Major League Baseball when it comes to starting pitching. There just isn't enough good starting pitching.
Exactly.
There aren't enough great quarterbacks in the NFL. And that's why when I hear expansion or when I hear growth of the league and we need,
I agree.
The league is perfect where it is. In fact, some would say there's not, like, look at some of these quarterbacks that we have in the NFL right now that are starting quarterback. Daniel Jones is a starting quarterback in the NFL right now. I mean, you know, there's a lot of bad quarterbacks in this league. We do not need expansion. There's not enough good quarterbacks. And so when you see one that has potentially the promise of being one, we all fall over ourselves whether or not that guy achieved anything yet.
Jared Goff in that Super Bowl run with the Rams, 55% completion, one touchdown, two picks. He did not lead that team. That's all I want to say.
In the postseason, you mean?
In the postseason. One touchdown, two interceptions, completed 55% of his passes.
That defense was fantastic.
Exactly. That team was amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, during the regular season, they were pretty damn good. Remember, they put up 55 points. We watched it. Like, it was the greatest football game any of us have ever seen, you know?
So
fun. So you've got, like Trevor Lawrence. I think the bloom is off that flower now, right? Like, everybody can say Trevor Lawrence is no good and whatnot. Like, in order to be one of the greats in the NFL, you can't just have, or in baseball, or in basketball, or anything, you can't have a good 6 weeks and be crowned. It's how you grow every week. It's how you get better from year to year. It's how you stay on top. It's how you do those little things. Like, Patrick Mahomes doesn't stay on top because he goes home and puts his feet up in Dallas for the offseason. He's working every single day, trying to get better every single day. That's what it takes in the NFL. So it's a nice start for Caleb Williams. There's no denying that. But is he going to be able to maintain? Is he going to be able to keep it up there? Is he going to have the right people surrounding him all the time? You know, I don't think they have the right coach right now in Chicago, but I don't think they have the right owner in Chicago right now. But for Caleb Williams, like, we've got to give guys more than just six games, because this is like crowning Kela Kaiohue. This is like crowning, you know, Mike Jacobs. This is like crowning all of these guys that we've seen pop on the scene, do great, but as soon as the league adjusts to them, they're not allowed to adjust back to the league. How many people were excited about Tony Moiaki? How many people were excited about, you know, the guy who was, you know, came up here, Aaron Murray? How many people were excited about Brody Croyle? Like, every quarterback we've seen, everybody wants to get excited about him. Then they play, then the league figures them out, and then they're left selling insurance. Not to say that Caleb Williams is going to be doing that, but I mean, we got to give somebody more than just a 6 week span to determine whether or not they have arrived on the scene. If we're having this conversation at the end of the year, Caleb Williams is still doing what he did, you know, yesterday and playing like he did for the last 2 weeks and putting up 35 points in consecutive game after game after game. Great. Hey, he's arrived. He's had a wonderful first season. Excited to see him next year. But I think at this point in time, we're praising people who have a very limited shelf life, who haven't done a whole heck of a lot. And you're looking at a guy like Jared Goff and everybody's like, eh, but all he does is win, win, win.
Jared Goff, not even in the top 20 in passing yards and not in the top 20 in passing touchdowns. Caleb Williams is 11th in passing yards and in touchdowns. He's tied for 7th. So Caleb Williams is putting up numbers, and you can say what you want. Oh yeah, look who he's played, Jacksonville. He's played.
I don't even go to that.
No,
route,
I'm not saying you are, but there are people that will say that on the text line, like, you know, whatever, and so forth and
it
so
all
on.
Evens out at the end. Everybody plays the same schedule, save two games in your division. You know that's it. If the Bears and Lions at the end of the year will play the exact same schedule except for two games, that's it.
Right. And the thing is, Caleb Williams was drafted to save his franchise. Jared Goff was there to maintain that franchise in Detroit.
Yeah.
Jared Goff is...
and that's a tough thing to do, to save a franchise, man. Like, that's a hard, hard thing to tell.
It is.
Anybody, right? Like, you know, you got to go out here and you got to save this franchise. That was the good thing about Patrick Mahomes coming in, right? It's a good franchise. Patrick didn't have to come in here and save the franchise.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes had to come here and take what the franchise was doing and accentuate it. And boy, did he. I mean, boy, did he to a different level. But you give these quarterbacks the keys to the franchise or anything like that. Say, okay, it's your turn to go out there and save the franchise. I know you were playing against, you know, rum-dum East Toenail State last year, but come in and save our franchise. Most of the time, it just doesn't work because people who need franchise saviors need more than a quarterback.
Well, if you love something to look forward to, the Bears will have a bye this week. And then in 2 weeks at noon, Chicago at Washington.
And they should flex that. It's still time to flex that game.
You got to do it this week, right?
Yeah, that ought to be Sunday Night Football.
Who plays Sunday night that week, though?
Dallas Niners.
That's not getting flexed.
Come on, no.
No, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not getting flexed.
You're right.
Dallas.
Not only that, you want to know what the Monday Night Football game is that week? This is the Monday Night Football game that week. So you get Dallas Niners Sunday night. Right. Oh, boy, it's going to be juicy on Monday. No, it ain't. It's Giants Steelers.
No.
You could.
I'm dead serious.
You could flex that one, but you know what? You're not going to flex Pittsburgh. You're just not going to do it.
And there's really not a whole lot of good games that week. That's the week that the Chiefs will absolutely obliterate the Raiders. Packers, Jags, no, that's not a good one. Titans, Lions, Falcons, Bucks, Jets, Patriots, Bears, Commanders, Dolphins, Cardinals, Saints, Chargers, Bills, Seahawks, Cincy, Philly, that's your 325 Tony Romo, Jim Nantz game. We could see what that would mean. And then, yeah, Dallas Niners, 720.
When do the Chiefs play the Raiders that day?
That's a noon game.
The Chiefs and Raiders.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's a 325 game in Vegas.
You got to think Nomo and Rance are going to be on that call, right?
Well, didn't you say they're going to be on the other one?
I'm just guessing they would have Philly at Cincy, but maybe they would have.
I think anytime they can get the Chiefs, they're doing that. It's such a better
in
product.
Vegas, yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't flex that game. You're not going to do it because you're not moving off Dallas. No matter how bad Dallas is, they still get the eyeballs, right?
Somebody says it's Jets Steelers, not Giants. No, I'm looking at it. It says Monday, October 28th, New York Giants at Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey, Don.
That's the Giants.
Yeah, that's what I meant. New York Giants at Steelers.
That's what I'm saying. New York Giants. It's not the Jets.
Yeah, it's what the text line says. It's Jets Steelers, not Giants.
And they're not going to flex the Jets. It doesn't matter. Everybody watches Aaron Rodgers. You know,
Jets Patriots play at noon that week.
They do?
Yeah,
that'll get flexed off the schedule.
Yeah.
We're just going to cancel this game this week. Jets and Patriots. Nobody's interested. No, Aaron Rodgers draws an audience. You're going to watch Aaron Rodgers tonight, right? You're absolutely going to have that game on to see what goes on. Coach fired. Rodgers getting all the blame. Buffalo, first place on the line. Come on now.
Yep.
That's a great way to look at the script going into this thing.
Yeah, you got
to
flex that one out. I don't want to see it. You talk about, I'd rather watch Bills Jets than I'd rather watch Dallas and Niners. Ugh. No thanks.
Bills Jets. What, say it again. Bills, Jets, or Dallas and Niners?
Yeah.
Oh, Bills, Jets.
Coming back, it's our favorite part of the show. What's in the script recap? Where we were wrong, where we were right. Probably not a lot of rights, probably lots of wrongs. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're waking up after a long weekend and you're thinking to yourself, oh, my joints are aching, my knees, my back, my shoulder, I just don't know what to do. Well, I can help you with that joint pain. Real lasting relief is possible with help from QC Kinetics. People here are getting their lives back, getting their mobility back, all thanks to QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in cellular therapies that can revitalize your joints. We're talking about advanced regenerative medicine, using your own body's healing properties, highly concentrated and carefully placed in your achy joint. Back pain, shoulder pain, knee pain, these are cutting edge treatments that require no surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. It's a quick in-office procedure that can get you moving again. And these protocols have been developed by medical professionals all over the United States, and they're under the leadership of Dr. Mitchell Scheinkup, a former orthopedic surgeon and a pioneer in clinical regenerative medicine. So is arthritis pain keeping you from doing the things you love? If you have that pain in your knees, your hips, your back, or your shoulder, then you owe it to yourself to learn more. Call QC Kinetics today for a free consultation. 816-412-6299. That's 816-412-6299. QC Kinetics off 435 in State Line and in Gladstone. 816-412-6299.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on a Monday morning. Can you believe it? Almost 2 hours gone. Sun's finally starting to come up. beautiful day. Freeze tonight. See you later. All the insects, flies, all those annoying little things. The freeze will bring this annoying thing out, which that is myself being self-deprecating there for you. Feel free. I'm always a good punching bag. Just don't get mad if it punches back. Mac Borey, Bob Fesco in with you here on 96.5 The Fan. One of my favorite segments, which is what's in the script. I just had mentioned I like to take all the punches and absorb them. There is a big punch I have to take today, and that was I know one thing I was wrong about in the script. I can start. I'll lay my head on the guillotine first. I was wrong about a lot of things, but I was wrong about, or I was right about one thing. Mac, as we get to where I was at in the script. Nope. Okay.
Nope. Mac, what, who, where, when, why, how?
I guess I'm not in there. We'll start with Bob. All right. Here's Bob's in the script.
So for me this weekend, the only thing in the script will be people realizing how much better the Chiefs are over everyone else in the NFL, including Minnesota. Last week was some of their lowest Sunday ratings the NFL has had in years, right? Why? Chiefs played on Monday night. Chiefs don't play this weekend at all. I'll be interested to see the ratings, and I'll be interested to see what people truly think of the league when they walk away from watching some of these other teams that play that, quite honestly, are boring. They're not as good and not as fun and not as entertaining about the Chiefs. I think people will say the weekend is going to be mid because no one in the NFL entertains like the Kansas City Chiefs. And whether it's watching them play defense, special teams, offense, they are so entertaining, so much fun to watch. And this weekend, America doesn't have the opportunity to watch the Kansas City Chiefs, and that stinks. Baltimore will beat Washington, and some will say now the Ravens are the team that's going to knock off Kansas City, as they've already started to do Dominique Foxworth, right? I do think the Ravens get that win this weekend, and everybody, see, the Ravens are sneaky. They're getting hot at the right time, blah, blah, blah. Chiefs already beat them this year. Doesn't matter. And then Daniel Jones and the Giants are going to beat Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals to officially put that nail in the coffin, because the Giants are coming off that big win against Seattle. Even though their first drive ended in a fumble return for 101 yards for a touchdown, they actually look competent on offense. And I think Cincinnati right now is already making plans for the offseason to go to Cabo. So the Giants are going to finish the Bengals off this weekend. But before the games start, every pregame show will have an hour of Aaron Rodgers coverage. And it will be all the Jets, all Aaron Rodgers, and all that fiasco. Because you know what? That is a train wreck, and we all love it. We all stop and watch what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. We cannot get enough of that saga in New York.
Well, that'll continue tonight because they're on Monday Night Football. So,
I mean, the pregame shows did have Aaron Rodgers all over. At one point yesterday, during the Sunday night broadcast, I thought the Jets were playing on Sunday night, and I had to look at my schedule again and go, no, the Giants are playing tonight. The Jets are playing tomorrow night, right?
Yeah,
they are, because it was all Aaron Rodgers. I did get the Giant outcome wrong. I was close. They almost won that game, right? But they have Daniel Jones as their quarterback. But we also saw Baltimore, and then I heard one of the McCourties on Sunday Night Football that Baltimore is the best offense in the NFL. So
they knew
that was coming.
Their running back's also on pace for 26 touchdowns and 1,900 yards rushing.
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to stand up, but hey, go for it, man. Go for it, right?
You're proving me wrong. This was Max in the script.
Saints and Spencer Rattler. So the Saints play the Bucs this week, and Spencer Rattler is starting for Derek Carr, and he's going to become the starter for the rest of the season after this week. He's going to play well. He's going to beat Tampa Bay. He's actually kind of a talented quarterback. He never really got it going in college. Everyone just kind of knows him from that show when he was a high school senior, and he was a total jerkwad when he was 17 years old. Well, he's 23, 24 years old now. He's grown a lot. I actually think he's really, really talented. He's going to take over Derek Carr's job in New Orleans. Carr's going to be traded to the Miami Dolphins or the Tennessee Titans after this week.
I like
because
that.
The Saints are like, I don't need you anymore. We're paying you. You're a statue. You're throwing picks up to Brian Cook on the sideline when you think you're throwing 60 yards. Broncos are going to beat the Chargers. And the NFL media is finally going to start to notice the Broncos. And go, the Broncos, they've won four in a row.
Eesh.
Bo Nix, is Sean Payton truly the savior that we thought?
Oh,
but in all reality,
God.
They're a bad team. He's beaten other bad teams along with the volatile Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. The Bengals, you mentioned it, Bob. You think they're going to win? I think they're going to play a close game on Sunday Night Football. I do think they're going to be able to beat the Giants in a close one. I think Joe Burrow will look good. And he'll get praised as the savior who's saving this team, but even though they're 2-4, and he's been a part of those losses. He's made bad plays in those losses. He's fumbled it against the Kansas City Chiefs in a clutch situation. He threw an interception, I think fumbled it against the Baltimore Ravens in a clutch situation. And, of course, like you said, the Chiefs will walk out at a winner as the cesspool of the NFL grows mercury and murkier at the bottom, and that path of clarity grows even more clear for the Chiefs at the top.
Eesh. Well, you got the Cincinnati Joe Burrow thing. How about a 47-yard touchdown run for the savior, right?
Yeah.
The Giants tried, man. They wanted to get him out of there, but...
Yeah, the Broncos take did not work out.
And the Broncos take... No. But if Bo Nix was on the Giants, they may have won that game last night.
All right, let's see how wrong I was in the script from Friday. My script is we're going to turn Bob into a believer this weekend with two guys.
Okay.
This week, Kyler Murray and Caleb Williams are going to prove it to you, Bob Fesco.
All right. Are they playing against each other?
They're not. Kyler Murray goes on the road to Green Bay. Okay. Kyler Murray against Green Bay is going to be something that I don't think you're going to expect. You think, oh, he's in Lambeau. Tough test. You know, you go to a hostile environment. Green Bay is 23rd in passing yards allowed and 23rd in total yards allowed.
Ugh,
Kyler Murray has a wide receiver one in Marvin Harrison Jr. There's no secret. He has got weapons. He seems to be playing better this year. He seems to be healthy. He has 7 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. He's got that wide receiver one. He has a 99.1 QBR, and he has a 68% passing completion percentage. Mm. Those are numbers that you cannot deny. He also averages 200 yards a game. If you want to be fair, it's 195. But he has a big opportunity. So we're going to go into a hostile environment in Lambeau. Big test. NFC North opponent. I know he's in the NFC West. The NFC West is wide open. The leader in that division is the team that played last night, which is the San Francisco 49ers. They are 3-3. They'll be 3-4 after next week. Kyler Murray wins this week. He shows more belief than Bob and everybody else that's just going to use that lame excuse and all he does play Call of Duty. Kyler Murray's been better than people think. He proves that to Bob this weekend. The other thing that gets proven is Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams will get Doug Peterson fired after this game on Sunday. The Jaguars go to Chicago. Caleb Williams now has two games.
Isn't this a London game this weekend for Jacksonville?
I guess, well, yeah. Chicago's the home team. Yeah. But Jacksonville in their hometown, I guess, of London. But they play visitors to Chicago. They're the home team. They're in the better uniforms. Doug Peterson goes to London, does not make it back as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Chicago wins by 14 points. Caleb Williams has another 300-yard game. Jaguars have quit on Doug Peterson ever since your ATM guy fumbled the ball in the first game of the season.
Yep.
You said their season is over. It is an epic meltdown in Jacksonville. I think Caleb Williams has another big game. Roma Dunze looks like he might be on the come. Mm. You also have a couple of running backs in that backfield with Swift and their rookie this year as well. I really like Chicago this week against Jacksonville. I love Caleb Williams. I love Kyler Murray and all sorts of prop bets on FanDuel and DraftKings. Caleb Williams, Kyler Murray in the script make Bob a believer and kind of maintain his hatred towards those quarterbacks.
There you go. You got 50% right, right, right? 50% right?
And to be fair, Kyler Murray wasn't that bad.
He was terrible when it mattered.
He was 22 of 32, 214 yards passing and a touchdown.
What were his first half stats?
You didn't ask me that. I just gave you his full stats. Jordan Love, much better. 22 of 32, 258, 4 touchdowns and a pick. So, yeah, Caleb Williams, good.
Yeah, Kyler Murray's really good.
Not good.
Kyler Murray, let's see. First half stats for Kyler Murray here. Of course, why would the computer not freeze up right now? Kyler Murray in the first half was 9 of 17, 103 yards, and 1 touchdown.
And he did that without his wide receiver, one who left the game with a concussion.
He did leave early, but still, you know.
Caleb Williams this week, 23 of 29, 226, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. He also had 4 rushes for 56 yards.
Who do the Bears have this week?
It's the rookie of the year game that we'll be watching.
It's a good time to have a bye for the Bears, right? Uh-huh. Coming back from London, take the week off. Big game, rookie v. rookie on noon football.
That's right. Coming up on the other side, Bob's good friend will join the show and explain more things to you that you didn't know here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.